Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Erin Fulton, and joining me in the studio this morning, I have Shannon Haugland, Kelly McGilligott, and Damaris Oxman, all here from Sitka Community Theater and the upcoming production of Much Ado About Nothing. Thank you all for coming in this morning and braving this ongoing snowpocalypse we have going on. So, it's already coming up, the spring production. Last year, we had a musical, and Sitka Community Theater kind of bounces back and forth between straight plays and musicals. And this is quite a bit different than Rock of Ages. Much Ado About Nothing, for those who may not have heard of it before, is a good old-fashioned William Shakespeare production. For those who have not been introduced to or not familiar with the story, in a quick synopsis without giving things away, Damaris, would you want to give just a quick overview of what this story is about?
Yeah, sure. Claudio and Hero are two young, innocent, naive young people, immediately fall in love. Beatrice and Benedick are two constantly bickering, constantly engaged in a battle of wits. Maybe they love to hate each other. Maybe they hate that they love each other. Meanwhile, we have a trio of schemers who are determined to ruin everything for everybody. How will it end? Well, it's a Shakespearean rom-com, so it's all going to work out, but it'll be a heck of a time getting there.
Excellent. And for those who are not familiar with William Shakespeare, we were saying before we came on air of this is kind of like the OG rom-com,
mm-hmm.
That so many of the tropes we see in a lot of the rom-coms we are watching today came from these kind of plays. Some of them from Much Ado About Nothing. So when it comes to seeing Shakespeare on stage, there's some things that people might find familiar, even if they've never seen Shakespeare before. So I guess let's back up a bit. For coming into community theater, Damaris, we've seen you on stage before. But Kelly, this is your first time with Sitka Community Theater. What brought you in to the fold?
First time on stage in a play since elementary school. What brought me in was that it is Shakespeare. My mom taught Shakespeare, and in the last few years, I've been looking for new hobbies, new friends, and I saw that there was going to be an upcoming community theater production of Shakespeare, and I would have done anything to be in this play, and luckily I didn't have to do anything to elicit. It was just a wonderful audition process. So if you're like me and you've never been in community theater in the future, just reach out if you're curious, and people will welcome you into the fold like they did with me. It's really a beautiful group.
Yeah, I'm also a part of the group, too. And I think, yeah, we're a fairly welcoming group of silly thespians, silly weirdos that
yes.
like to get together and play pretend. Damaris, this is, goodness, do you know what, how many times have we seen you on stage, if
this
you can even recall?
This is actually my second time on
really?
Stage with Sitka
oh,
Community Theater. Yeah, my first was Frankenstein a couple of years ago. I missed out on Rock of Ages because I'm not really much of a singer, so I tend to skip the musicals.
And radio theater.
Oh, radio theater, that's true. I've done that a couple of times. But yeah, I very much had a similar kind of experience of being welcomed into the fold when I first did Frankenstein. That was my first time back on stage in several years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you, Kelly, you were saying that your first play was in third grade.
Third grade.
Was where I was first introduced to Shakespeare. My forward-thinking elementary school teacher did a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and
very
that was
cool.
where I fell in love with it.
Very
yeah.
cool. Yes, by third grade, I was a very educated Shakespearean watcher. My mom taught Shakespeare, so every year, I grew up in California, every year we would go up to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Mm-hmm. Eventually, when I was a bit older, we would go to Europe, we would go to London, to the Globe Theater, we would see all kinds of different theater productions. But my mom taught Shakespeare from the literature standpoint, so we never did theater stuff in my house. Theater was much appreciated, but it was not the focus of our family discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is your chance to be on the other side of it.
It's my chance to be on off the page. Yeah, I'm jumping in. Not a casual observer, but a participant. Yeah. It's a different experience of Shakespeare for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel with many people, your interaction with Shakespeare has been, at least for me up until this play, has been in high school English class of, you know, having to read Romeo and Juliet or Macbeth or something like that, of just reading it to yourself on the page and writing a report on it. And it can feel kind of flat because when you're just reading it in your head, it can be kind of confusing. It's definitely not our modern English. It can feel a little just foreign. And even though this is, this is old writing, it's 400 years old, but definitely when we're all on stage and performing this, it's a reminder that, I mean, people have always been people, and these are still very relatable things that are being done, that are being said, and seeing and hearing Shakespeare is quite a bit of a different experience than just reading it on the page. How has it been to go from seeing it and reading it to embodying it?
I think it's really interesting because it's a reminder that these plays were written to be performed. Reading them, like you said, it can feel a little bit stiff and stifling because that's not really how it's meant to be experienced. You're meant to watch it and experience it. And bringing that dialogue to life, it really... You have friends who are ribbing on each other, who are teasing each other. You have miscommunications that lead to conflict. Again, things that are still part of the human experience today. And being able to take that language and translate it into something that is relatable is really, really interesting.
I love that languages shift. If you are like me and you're a millennial and you hear Gen Zers speak and you're like, what are they doing with their... Well, that's not English. It's the same thing with Shakespeare. Yeah. It's M-E-S-L. Middle English is a second language. It's the spirit of English, but it's a little different. So just think of it as a different generation's vernacular. Don't think of it as an obstruction to understanding it. Just say it out loud. It's like reading anything out loud will help you understand what you're reading. And if you're ever reading Shakespeare at home or you're trying to read Shakespeare at home, do the voices. That helps so much. When you're reading a piece of Shakespeare and you're reading a man's character, read it out loud with a deeper voice. And if you're reading a woman's character, read it out loud with a higher voice. And it just makes it makes it real. It makes it fun. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I was taught to consume Shakespeare as a reader. And I didn't know much about the theater side. But as a reader, it's always been fun to read. Yeah. And, you know.
Give the villain a villain voice.
The voices. Yeah. Yeah.
Just picturing you guys at home.
Oh, don't picture me at home.
The antics that ensue. You think it's just a quiet reading hour.
Yes.
There's a one-woman show going on. So, Shannon, you might have more of the background of how did this particular play come up as in the, like, I guess the straight play season?
Yeah.
How was it that that Shakespeare and that Much Ado About Nothing in particular was what came up?
It really comes from the performers, the people who have been performing at least the last couple of plays. We send out a survey, so Kelly wouldn't have gotten one of these, but just saying, what do you feel like doing? Mm. What sounds most appealing? And so Tara had rom-com, she had, you know, deep emotional, she had four selections. And I think a lot of people were surprised that the rom-com turned out to be Much Ado. But that being said, it is Shakespeare, and it can be uncomfortable for people who don't, like, listen to Shakespeare, watch Shakespeare, or go to a lot of plays. But Much Ado is kind of known as the most accessible, like, to newcomers. And you should also, like, know there's a ton of funny parts with basically clown-like characters that come in, just oafs, who say the wrong things, do the wrong things. You'll get the malaprops that one of the characters speaks in. Those are all, like, you know, part of the humor of the day. But Much Ado was the first play I went in totally unprepared. I was 17 years old. And I understood it. You're not going to understand everything. And I was talking to some older people, and they're like, is it going to be presented in the original language? And it's a shortened version, for sure. We're not going to do 3.5 hours of Shakespeare. And I don't even know if you didn't edit it, but most of Shakespeare performed is edited in some way. Another thing is there's a lot that will just sound like straight up sentences. It's all in how it's performed. But I told them that, you know, the characters will have summaries there. We'll have a synopsis. You and I are working on this. I haven't sent it to you, but I will.
Yes. I'll look
so for it. I think some of the people get caught up in the older gentleman, like, who is this person? How are they related? Instead of focusing on kind of the clutch parts, which are, you know, the romances and the malefactors, I guess you'd call them. And just don't get too caught up, because just know that they're related. I did send like one paragraph saying, like, these are the people who, you know, and I said, it's Aaron Fulton. And that really helped them, because they know who you are. So they know to look for you as Don Pedro, who's basically the host of the gathering. And, you know, I picked out four of the older gentlemen. Just, like, don't get distracted by this. This is how you know, if you want a little background. But we will have a really short synopsis right at the front. So
if you are worried about getting caught up or a little lost in the language, yeah, we've got your back.
We're trying to. We should mention a few things. Directed by Sotera Perez, Rach Roach is our tech director, who's doing a ton of work as well. Our stage manager, we have Rebecca Polson working her keister off, getting that set ready. We had two work parties. Thank you, volunteers who showed up. It was very jolly. We've had a couple weekends of that, and I posted a couple things online on my personal Facebook. You'll be seeing them on social media. Make sure you follow us on social media, Sitka Community Theater, if you want to learn who the cast members are. And those posts are just coming out, and that'll be running all week leading up, because we're not doing, like, traditional bios, but it's kind of fun. We ask the cast members their favorite quote, their favorite rom-com, their favorite rom-com trope. And the cast members got back to me pretty quickly and told me that was something where you really think about Shakespeare a little bit in terms of a trope. You know, this is enemies to lovers, I think we agreed, which is kind of everyone's favorite. You know, even if it's something else, it ends up being enemies to lovers. I don't know. Yeah. But it's been a lot of work that actors have been working so hard. And then we have a fun tech crew. We'll have the YPT kids, the tech crew, coming in to help us starting tomorrow. A lot of adult volunteers, but yeah, 20 actors, about a crew of 10. And then, you know, in total, probably 25 volunteers who've been building the set.
Yeah, truly a community effort with Sitka Community Theater.
And you can come help us take the set down. I hate to mention that, but if you missed out on the building, it's just as much fun.
What goes up must come down. Indeed. And yeah, so for the play itself, that is coming up this coming weekend. It'll be Friday, Saturday, for an evening performance of 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. And then a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. As I said, all at the Performing Arts Center. For tickets, you can head over to Old Harbor Books online at fineartscamp.org, or just mosey on up to the door. And don't get hung up on the language. Just kick back, relax, get ready to have a good time. The actors have done all the hard work of learning all the language. Just be prepared to have a good time. Well, thank you all for coming in this morning. And yeah, we'll break a leg this weekend for Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, my
thank
leg.
You.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
it's a
for
pleasure.
Having us in.